Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf.
And I'm CG Wolf.
And today we have Emily Lubin.
Thank you so much for having me. CG, I love that you took Kate's last name. Like, I think this is the new wave of feminism. I'm going to force my, well, actually, no, because Lubin, I hate the name Lubin. So maybe Lubin I won't do that, but I like the idea of it.
Did you say lubing it up?
Lubing it up, you know?
Yeah, you know, nice. When I was younger, like when I was just starting out in comedy, I actually had t-shirts made that, because somebody took my picture at a show and for some reason I was making this stank face. And so I put a picture of me with the stank face and then I put the text said, put the lube in, let's have some fun. And I tried to sell these t-shirts, but meanwhile, I didn't have any fans. Nobody wanted to put the lube in.
I totally want one of those t-shirts.
I'll see if I can dig one out
around our town.
Yes.
I'll see if I can find some. I might have a couple in an XL.
It's just a story. It's a story starter. Like if I
For
wear
sure.
it to a part, they're like, what the fuck is that shirt? You know, that's a good time.
For sure.
Yeah, I think Lubin's a good last name. Wolf is obviously, it's pretty badass.
Wolf is one of the best names that you could have. Actually, there was a girl, I used to get name envy over kids at school, and I would fantasize that, not like that I was in their family or that I was them necessarily, just like that I had their last name. And there was a girl with the name Wolf. It was one F though, but I obsessed over her name. I would dream about having her name. And then there was another girl at camp. Her last name was Diamond. Her name was Brittany Diamond. And my favorite singer, of course, was Britney Spears, still is to this day. So I was like, Brittany Diamond is the fucking best name ever. I would do anything. Like if a genie came and gave me three wishes, all three of them would be for my name, Brittany Diamond.
Yo, yes, I thought I couldn't, I was going to have one chance in my life to have a much cooler name. I felt like after I became Charles Wolfe, like someone would hire me to be like a stockbroker. You know what I'm saying? Like I thought just like jobs were going to be falling in my lap. Like I was going to get instantly rich. It didn't happen yet, but like I still have my fingers crossed.
Yeah, the name is half the battle. Isn't that, aren't they always saying that? Like give your kids resume friendly names. I say give your kids actor names. Like give your kids distinguished names. Make your I had a boss, her last name was McGuff, and she almost named her daughter McGinnis. Now she had a lot of kids. She had like five or six kids and they all had these like interesting Irish names. And she ended up naming her, I think, Fiona. I think that was Fiona, but she almost named her McGinnis. And I said, you fucked up. McGinnis McGuff is like a movie star name.
Or it's the kid that gets bullied constantly.
I feel like that
true.
Kid
you have to pull
ass
it off.
Kicked, but that would be an amazing name. I would just love being in the same school as McGinnis McGuff.
Right? I feel like you're just destined for greatness, but you're right. If you're like a fucking dweeb, then it wouldn't be good. It wouldn't be good. You have
I
to.
I can't picture like a stud name that. I'm having
exactly.
Trouble picturing that.
You would have to be pretty fucking ugly for me to not marry McGinnis McGow. McGuff. Shit.
We saw a sign. These two people were running for kind of a council, whatever thing, and it was Schatz and Stanku. And I was like, who can vote for that? Like, it's Schatz and Stanku.
They lost the election.
That's one name, or those are two people running
two,
against
two
each other?
Running mates.
Two different
Shut
people.
Up. Oh my God, that's amazing. Yeah, I don't know. It's not, so to circle back, it's not that like, I think my name is the worst name in the world. Like there are people out there named like Shitstain, I'm sure. I haven't met them, but I'm sure they exist.
I haven't met them.
But it's just like, there are so many cool names and there are so many names that are like, interesting and have a good ring to it. And I just never felt that connected to my name. I also hate my middle name and I don't use it for anything. And it's like this pointless name that I don't even want to say it.
You have to.
My middle name is Gustav.
That's a good one. You sound like
Gustav,
the guy.
That's a sick fucking middle name.
That's what CG is. Charles Gustav.
Oh, okay. Oh my God. That's incredible. I love that so much.
That's a hot name. What's your middle name, Emily?
I thought Gustav was stupid. I used to get abused for being Gustav.
Well, that's because in our culture, they didn't appreciate fine things for a bit. Emily, I need to know the middle name.
Okay. My middle name is Faith. Faith. But I'm not, my family is not religious. I think Emily Faith sounds like a Southern lady who like always has candy in her pockets.
I hate hard candy.
Werther's Originals and Lifesavers. I fucking hate it. I don't use it on anything. Like I have a pit in my stomach, like saying it right now.
I think it's so cool. I mean, you know me, the spiritual woo-woo lady.
Do you know what it is? It comes off religious. Like my co-host on my podcast, her name's Lauren Hope Crass. Her middle name is Hope. And Hope and Faith are very similar names, but I think Faith is way more like of a religious connotation. Hope is more like a concept. So I always tell her, I'm like, I wish I had your middle name. How is it that we've been talking for 10 straight minutes about names?
What our podcast is.
Let me say this.
It's just talking about bullshit, whatever bullshit comes up.
Not always true. That's how you see it. We have a lot of deep, poignant topics as well.
I'm sure you do.
But in terms of faith, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. And I think faith is beautiful because it's what gets you through the most horrific days. And there are lots of horrific days here on the planet Earth. So I think faith, especially if you take it out of the religious context, although you don't have to, but I think it's a beautiful thing. Like you don't give up. You keep believing in something, even if it's in yourself. Mm. And I know you to be someone of faith, just maybe not in the way you would normally define it. You came to me for a bunch of healings, not knowing if you believed in it or not. But I think you have dedication to just inner growth and discovery and what is reality. And to me, you have to have faith in order to want to continue to explore. Because once again, this world can be quite dark.
You know what? That was so gorgeous. And that is true. That is the kind of bitch I am. So maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll drop the Emily and just keep Faith.
No, you don't have to drop Emily.
I got to drop something.
Faith Lubin. No, I like Emily Faith Lubin. It's pretty.
Thank you.
It's who you are.
Yeah, for better or for worse.
You could always take Wolf as well. You could be Emily Faith Lubin.
I'll change
Wolf.
My name to Wolf. Oh my God, I need
Why
to.
Not?
Or hear me out. Dragon.
Don't you dare.
Your last name would be Dragon.
Don't you dare.
Dragon.
You know I've got dragon sorcery on lockdown. How dare you?
You didn't trademark that shit.
I didn't.
This is
I haven't trademarked fucking
trademark.
Anything. That's why when Cardi B named her album Invasion of Privacy, I was like, okay, there's nothing you can do.
I cannot believe that you just brought that up because I specifically remember when that album dropped, I texted you. I was like, you need to sue a bitch. You need to take legal action. Against
Cardi B?
Yeah, against Cardi B, because that you have it in writing. You had the IP way before she did.
Emily, listen, Emily Faith.
No, we totally should do
no,
that.
No, hold on, CG.
We're poor. What are we doing?
After Cardi B, by all means. But here's the other thing.
Nicely through lawyers and stuff.
No, here's the other thing. I had a rap song called WAP, but it stood for Whack Ass Pussy. Not about my own pussy, okay? It was a diss track. And then she suddenly had WAP. So, and it was wet ass pussy, which is way more positive, okay? So I was like, you know what? She's celebrating. I was being in a hateful place. That's all good. But it was Invasion of Privacy, and then it was WAP. And I'm like, are we swimming through the same spiritual field? Like, what's happening? I doubt Cardi B goes to my comedy shows.
Something's happening because you know she has people. And all I have to say is that she's been real quiet since that came out.
The wet ass pussy.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah, I don't think she.
I said that so
album.
White. I'm like, the wet ass pussy.
The wet ass pussy. That was such a tragic time when that song came out because it was the middle of COVID and like all the girls were dying to throw some ass to that song, and none of us could. It was it was so depressing. Like when I hear that song, I'm taken back to that time that I
There's
just wanted to be in
house.
Wait, would dudes not come over if it was COVID time? You couldn't call up a dude and say, you know, come over right now. I feel
I got
like dudes,
that wet ass pussy go.
I feel like dudes didn't care that much about COVID that they stopped getting.
Oh, certainly not. No, certainly not. But I was actually living with my boyfriend at the time. I think we were dating for like 8 months and then COVID hit and then I moved in. Because I thought it was only going to be like a couple weeks, you know, like everybody else. I didn't foresee the fact that I would be in this motherfucker's house with with a roommate, like with a random. I've never lived with boys before. It was very jarring. And I thought it was going to be like a temporary solution. And then 8 months later, I was like, we need to get the fuck out of here. Your roommate does not clean his bathroom. but I had never had any experience with that before.
Yeah, I mean, some people cared about COVID a lot. I'm not saying I didn't care, but some people were like, masks all the time, get every COVID and every booster. Like, some people were on it. So maybe some dudes gave up.
If you had COVID and you said, Siege, you know, COVID-free Siege, and you called me and said, look, I really need to get laid, I'd be over there in a second.
Really?
COVID's not killing like a 40-year-old pretty healthy person.
Well,
so
we're gonna get some hate mail. They're gonna be like, my cousin passed away from COVID.
I mean
so healthy. And I'm gonna be like, you can email Fiji your complaint at, and I'll give your email. I'm like, I'm not the one who said that.
I always
well, here's the thing. I think we've
made for this.
There's an expiration date on the COVID rage, right? Because like I remember back then there was a lot of COVID rage. I got some heat because I don't even remember what I said, but I went on a podcast and I really truly do not remember what I said, but there I was picked apart for whatever it is that I said. It could have even been as small as like, you know, I'm actually valuing this time alone. Like I never have this much time to like think about
they're
things.
Like, you insensitive bitch. People are dying.
Right in the
hottest
in the hottest time of COVID, we made a video starring Kate where she starred as Rona Ronda and she had like snot coming.
It was not a hit.
Did you put this on YouTube?
I think it's funny as shit. Dude, I still think it's hilarious. It got like 3 views, whatever.
I think I put too much fake snot that like people couldn't
you
see
look
past.
You look too disgusting. Yeah, you look too disgusting. It was
how
like,
do you make the fake snot?
What did I mix? I feel like I mixed Elmer's with some water for the first one.
You put Elmer's glue on your lip?
Something like that. And then
glue is good. Glue is very versatile.
Yeah. And then the second one, I made it like weirder. I like used oatmeal and like crusted it. And
that was the problem. The oatmeal made it.
I don't want to see that. I was in a real state of mind. The Rona Ronda was really in me. I had gotten COVID.
Do you ever, I feel like you don't. I feel like you have a really sick memory, but I maybe I'm wrong. Do you ever forget about certain videos you made or like certain sketches that you did?
God. 'Cause
like I randomly remembered the other day that like maybe 6 or 7 years ago, I did a sketch. I had a sketch comedy group, which is like kind of out of character for me. I'm kind of a solo, you know, I like to fly solo, sometimes in a pair, but not, I'm not like a, you know, a group sports type of person. But I was in this sketch group for a brief time and we made a sketch that was a spoof on The Pianist, but it was The Pianist and it was about a penis that played piano. And so I played the wife that the pianist lost, like, tragically. And we filmed in Greenwood Cemetery. I don't know if you know where that is, but extremely disrespectful for two people to be wearing full penis costumes in Greenwood Cemetery, like crying at someone's grave. Like, the audacity.
Were you also a penis?
So the main pianist. The main pianist was my friend Lucas, and I played his love interest.
Who was also a penis?
Oh, important question. No. I should clarify. She was just a penis. She wasn't a pianist.
Emily, may I ask, is this still on YouTube? Because I feel like
I want to
watch this.
I totally want to watch it. I know all our viewers want to watch it as well.
I'll send it to you. I was like, does this still exist? And yeah, it's right up there. It's not behind a paywall, nothing.
So
but you know
on.
What?
I'm was it like a hot dog suit where just your face sticks out and then there's a whole penis hat?
Yeah, it had like limp balls. It wasn't like high budget is the thing. Like, we could have really done something. I do think we could have done something. But it was kind of half-assed. So, and but it's funny. It's cut like a trailer. So it's about a minute long. But yeah, I did a lot of weird sketches in that time. But it was only for about a year that I was in this sketch group. And then we disbanded. We had creative differences.
I still get like embarrassing flashes of either jokes I've said on stage or sketches I put out 10 years ago, not thinking what it might look like in the future. I was in one person's sketch. It was his idea where, like, you pay someone to chew your food for you. And he did a scene where it looks like he's spitting food in my mouth. We did a whole thing where we put like plastic in. But I was like, I let a dude spit in my mouth, essentially. It wasn't real spit, but in terms of the image, like, that's so degrading looking. And at the time I'm like, anything goes, everything's funny. And I think about that and I'm like, oh, gross, that's out there, you know, amongst other gross sketches I put out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is what that is, but I think when you're a woman and you're just starting out in comedy, you kind of sometimes you fall into this role. Like, I would end up on a lot of dude podcasts, you know, like I don't want to like call out specific podcasts, but you know, like How to Be a Man, like that type of show I would end up guesting on it. And I always felt like I ended up being the butt of the joke, or like I either had to kind of play a role that was like sluttier than I am, or like one of the guys, and it had to be one or the other. And I'm really embarrassed by a lot of like podcasts and stuff that I did where like I felt like the only way to be accepted at the cool kids table, or like, you know, among these dudes, not actually cool kids, but who I perceived to be cool kids, was like to dumb myself down or kind of like be degraded a little bit.
I know, that's the crazy part of comedy and podcasting. Like, you're putting out hours of content, not really thinking about it at the time. And if you evolve just a little, even in like 3 months, you could be mortified at what you said 3 months ago, but you kind of have to own it to a certain degree, just as part of your journey, and not fall into shame either. Because when I start, because I've been podcasting for like over a decade, and I have said some dumb shit that I no longer really agree with, you know? So it's like, all right, I have to hope that people aren't offended, or they know that people evolve and change. And I don't know. I mean, I can watch a set of mine from a week before and just be like, huh, you know?
Who's that? It's hard not to react that way.
Yeah.
Not to your comedy, but to one's own comedy.
So I want to ask you, I was just on your and Lauren Hope Crass's podcast, Good Bodies. Whose concept was that?
It's an interesting story, actually. So Good Bodies is actually the show rebranded. It used to be called Diet Starts Tomorrow. And the show actually is one of Betch's longest running podcasts, but the original hosts left. I think they did the podcast for about 4 years. And actually, Betch's was founded by three girls, and two of the girls hosted the podcast.
Okay.
But then, you know, I think it was about four and a half years, they just, it didn't feel like it aligned with them anymore. So they were looking for new hosts. And at the time, I was hosting a podcast by myself called RIP Diets, which was all about breaking down diet culture and healing from my eating disorder and kind of just like busting fitness and nutrition myths, but in a humorous way, because I felt like that was needed, especially during COVID. Like I started it during COVID where, like we said, it was a really crazy time. And like people's health was at risk, you know, like actually at risk. But then at the same time, you had people saying like, oh, we can't leave our houses. We're going to get so fat. And it's like, okay, well, I feel like there are bigger things going on, you know, like I remember quarantine 15, that was a phrase that was floating around. So I just felt like I needed to do something creatively to combat that. So anyway, the podcast department at Betches found my stuff from RIP Diets. And then I went in and recorded a demo to do DST. But then when Lauren joined, we decided to rebrand because the name Diet Starts Tomorrow was attracting a different kind of listener, a listener that wanted to learn how to get skinny, wanted to hear, you know, how to level up your fitness routine. And that's not really what we talk about. I mean, we are into health and wellness and fitness, but we are more holistic and we're very anti-diet. So it kind of evolved into a health and wellness podcast, but from an anti-diet perspective.
Got it. And I'm curious, and I brought this up to Lauren when she was on the podcast, because we had to do a different kind of diet for health reasons. So how do you feel about that? Because I can only eat whole grains. I had to get rid of sugar because of my Lyme disease. So are you guys cool with those kinds of diets?
Well, first of all, I don't judge anybody for going on a diet if they feel like it's right for them. It's important definitely to bring up the fact that people have health conditions and they need to adjust.
Yeah, I didn't know if you were like, fuck your health condition.
No. Oh my God, never. It's more like that we oppose diet culture. The
like
notion, especially
yourself?
I mean starving yourself, but just generally, I think women from a very young age are taught that we always need to be trying to shrink ourselves. And it's often not in the name of health at all. I mean, I used to be, this is kind of my origin story, but I was always overweight as a child. And when I was in college, I was around 200 pounds. And I intentionally lost weight. I did go on a restrictive diet and I spent a lot more time in the gym. I kind of like overhauled my whole life and I lost 75 pounds. And then after that, I mean, I was really, really proud of myself. It felt like a huge accomplishment. And I kind of rode that high for a little bit, but then an interesting thing happened where I was terrified of putting the weight back on to the point that I kept having to outdo myself and I kept having to create more rules so that I wouldn't, because you plateau at a certain point and then you might even start to gain a little bit of weight back when you loosen the reins, when you're not being so strict. So it eventually turned into a very toxic eating disorder that, that I didn't really get out of until I was 27, and took a lot of different forms. So my primary reason for being so anti-diet culture is because I think it promotes disordered eating patterns. And we tell people, you know, you need to lose weight. So only ingest 1,000 calories a day, but you would never say that to somebody who's already thin, and who has an eating disorder. So I think like, I kind of experienced that firsthand where like I was prescribed with an eating disorder and then it led to me having some really severe health problems and depression too.
Yeah.
When I met Kate again after middle school and we met back up when I was about 40 and then especially when we moved in together, I would always make sure we had like donuts sitting out, just stuff that she could see. And she would, you know, and it would get her because I like thick women. And so like I would make sure that there was something, you know, to get her attention when she went into the kitchen, and she started to figure it out. And she was like, yo.
Well, I gained a lot of weight, which at first I didn't care about because I was like, oh, he likes me thick. But then my cholesterol went through the roof, you know, and like it wasn't helping.
It wasn't good for her health, but her curves looked amazing.
And then when he started eating healthy for his own health reasons, and I was like, everyone was saying to me with my inflammation, like, you gotta switch up your diet, you know, like you have to, you can't keep complaining about your health issues if you're not eating healthier. So then I did catch on, and that's why I give a bad look, because he was putting out all the treats, all the donuts, and I got hooked on eating whatever the heck I wanted all the time, which was kind of fun, but I was eating till my stomach was hurting so bad. So it's not even fun. It's like I eat and then I'm like, oh, and then I'm like farting in front of my hot husband all the time, and I'm like, okay, something needs to change. I can't keep farting this much in front of him.
That is so interesting, because I feel like you've never, or am I wrong? Like, I feel like you've never had any self-image issues, or like you've never really had to think too much about your body.
No, I have. When I got to college, I gained the freshman 15, you know, and then I went to the gym, was really dedicated, and lost it. But I got addicted to counting calories, both on the machines and eating. And it started to really lead my life, where the joy was sucked out of it, because I would count every calorie going in. It was all I thought about. And I eventually had to break up from that mindset and just say, like, fuck it, I'll do what I can, but I can't live like this. So I did have an issue. I think now I try to just listen to my body as best I can. So even with my strict diet, if I'm craving something sugary, I'll let myself go for it, depending on what it is. You know, I'll try to let myself have joy, but I don't count calories. I listen to my body, my cravings, and it doesn't own me in that way anymore. Thank God.
Because that's so good to hear. I mean, that's like how it is for so many women. And I know that it affects men too, but like the whole calorie counting thing is such a trap. And it was something it that sucks. Was like, I was taught to do, you know, yeah. Like that, it was just like, this is what you do. And, I had so many experiences that gave me so much clarity. And one of them was I went to visit my grandmother, and my grandma is 92 years old, but I think at the time she was probably like 88. She was a spring chicken back then. And she said to me, like, oh, I need to stop eating ice cream at night. I really want to lose 5 pounds. And I'm like, grandma, you don't even see anybody. Like, it was so wild to me that this woman's 88 years old. She's still is trying to shrink herself.
Right.
And so for me, I was like, there's no age that you get to and you're just good with yourself. I need to make those changes now and have kind of like an attitude adjustment now so that it doesn't control my life forever. And I'm definitely not perfect, but I'm miles ahead of where I was. And coincidentally, I'm in the best shape of my life. Woo. Like, it's not, I don't feel that I've sacrificed my health. That's another thing that, like, sometimes when you talk about intuitive eating, which is what I follow, and it's what my co-host Lauren follows too, people will say, well, that's unhealthy to just eat whatever you want whenever you want it. And it's almost like they don't want to understand. Like, right. They don't want to stop and just think like, oh, well, maybe if I took all the rules away from food, then I wouldn't binge eat because I could have a cookie anytime I want. So maybe that would actually be healthier for me to not be, you know, obsessing over the cookie and then waiting till the end of the week and then eating 75 cookies in the dark where no one can see me. You know, like maybe this would be a little bit healthier, but instead people just choose to believe that we're promoting like unhealthy lifestyles sometimes. And that's so not what it is. Like even what you're describing right now with being mindful about what you eat because of your health condition. But then, you know, if you're really craving something, then you eat it. That's intuitive eating. That's exactly what it is. It's, you know, there's a principle. Intuitive eating has 10 principles. And one of the last ones, it might even be the last one, but I can't recall. It's gentle nutrition. And it's paying attention to things that make you feel good physically and emotionally, and things that make you feel bad, and actively avoiding certain things that make you feel bad. So it's a very important part of it. But so I think sometimes with intuitive eating, people just read the headline and they don't read the article.
Right, right. Because there has to be a real balance there. And I believe in the mind, body, spirit connection. So intuitive eating in all realms, you know, if you're feeling like you don't fuck with an energy anymore of a person or whatever, I think it's important to listen. And I love how you approach diet and stuff, because like you have rules, but you break them when you need to as well. And you kind of go for it.
Well, like has so much to do with your mental health though, too. Like I think whatever foods have these labels, like they're bad, they give you some kind of happiness, like in your head that I think you need. Like your brain chemistry. So I can, yeah, whenever I've done super strict, like my brain chemistry is off.
Right.
I'm not a happy person. I'm not thinking, you know, so yeah, there has to be something. I mean, it's just more all encompassing than just like what you put in and how your body looks. Like it's how you feel too. And so,
oh yeah. And food isn't like the only purpose of food isn't just to fuel your body or get like certain macros. Food is also emotional, and we can't deny that. And I don't like when people try to deny that and say, well, I see food as fuel. It's like, okay, well, I think when you go home for Thanksgiving dinner, your mom's cooking all your favorite foods, and that's meaningful, and that provides comfort, and it provides like this lovely experience that you're sharing with other people. And you know, culturally food is important. It has a lot of other purposes other than just to physically fuel us. So it's about understanding that as well. But I actually have a question. Do you find that your health is more stable with you following this diet?
I've definitely seen improvements. I'm not in the clear yet with the Lyme disease stuff, but I'm doing much better. And I was able essentially to get back into comedy again, I think, because of it, because I'm still doing teaching, but I had such limited energy levels. It was like, okay, I got to pick one thing and that's it. And that started to kill me because my soul's like comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But just being able to travel, because I've been telling people comedy's like, it's like 15 minutes of stage time and like 4 hours of traveling for me because I'm in Philly. So I have to be able to do that drive, which can be really hard on my system. My foot's injured, but then also I get fevers, inflammation, headaches. So I do see it changing and getting more stable, but I'm definitely not in the clear yet. But CG just ran into this place that's raw vegan food. And the guy who owns it in his 70s lives by it. I'm obviously not going to go full raw vegan. But
yeah, what is raw vegan? Like a cauliflower steak?
They figure out how to like prepare these foods without raising the heat past a certain point because then all the nutrients are burned off.
Okay. And I think that's okay. I would say that's a myth, but continue.
They definitely have amazing raw vegan restaurants in Manhattan, and I miss one of them. I want to go the next time I'm in. I mean, they're pricey, but I'm thinking I would like to do a bit more. I already do a good amount of veggies and fruits, but I think the more nutrient-filled foods I can get in, the better of a chance I'll have at healing, because I was a vegetarian for like 20 years, but I wasn't doing it right. I was eating like white bread with cheese on it and mayo and just then doing comedy without, you know, taking care of my body and my mind. And I completely broke. So now I think I have to like, you know, almost start from scratch and just give it all the good stuff I can. And hopefully I'll get back to feeling better and walking without a cane. But, you know, I'm appreciative just to be alive and still be somewhat killing it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no, you're totally killing. I mean, we're all works in progress, but I wish I could just be thankful to be alive.
I mean,
I've
half
never
the
been
time,
like that.
One of those people.
Emily, half the
They're
time.
Great.
We have a joke because we watched the newer Pet Sematary Bloodline, and I was like, I have the personality of someone they buried at Pet Sematary that came back. I can be so fucking cranky and just like, heal, heal. Like some days I'm just like, when my body's inflamed and I'm watching my hot husband get like healthier and more energy, I'm just like, heal, heal.
Yeah, like I wouldn't know. I wouldn't recognize if you got buried in Pet Sematary and then came back. Like, I'd be like, what's wrong with Kate? And I'm like, what are you talking about?
I have to admit, I don't really know this reference. What is Pet Sematary?
So Pet Sematary is like a Stephen King movie, okay? Mm. And there's this Pet Sematary. If you bury your pet there, apparently it comes back to life. But now it's like a kill you cat. But he kills the shit out of you now.
Oh,
okay,
my
so
God.
You're really happy, like your dog gets hit by a truck and you bury it. You're really happy that your dog's not dead anymore, but now your dog is going to kill you pretty soon. At first, it doesn't do it. It waits a little while and like does weird shit and like kind of gets twitchy and does weird shit, but then it starts killing everyone. So the later Pet Semataries, they're burying, you know, I guess he buried his son in the first one because his son got hit by a truck and now it's evil son murdering
everyone.
I thought
his son died at war. Or maybe this was the more
recent. No, this is the one we just watched.
Oh, okay.
He died in the war, something like that. But when they come back, they're just real weird and twitchy for a little while. And they fuck with you too. They
and
know
they
you,
heal.
They know your thoughts.
They heal. That's
they
what
know
they
your,
want to do.
They know
they
your
heal.
Thoughts, so they fuck with you a little bit. They're like, yeah, your dad, you're going to hang yourself the same way your dad did. And you're like, what, Tommy? You know, it's like weird stuff like that. And then later they start killing everyone. So obviously they act really weird.
I'm
when
not
they come
saying
back.
I'm that extreme. Okay. I'm not full buried at Pet Sematary, but like I definitely have some vampire qualities that I've embraced. We kind of talked about it on your Lauren's podcast. Like,
yes, you brought it up. And
yeah.
I never got to delve deep into the vampire thing that you were talking about. And the thought lingered after you left the studio. I was like, God damn it. She mentioned being a vampire. And
he
never
calls
actually
me Baby Dracula because I love a dark room. I
when
just
I come home,
like
she'll be just like, she'll be just like in a blanket up to her face. Like just her face is sticking out of the blanket in the darkness. And just, it's just a little face and there's no sound and she's not doing anything. And it's just, so it's just a funny picture when I come in and see her Baby Dracula.
I'm Baby Dracula.
Yeah.
I get very cranky. Like I have jokes about it, you know, but I feel like the world has been harder than I expected when I was young. And, you know.
Oh, don't we all?
Yeah.
Well, do you get enough vitamin D?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I mean,
because that's
I
my
get
thing.
That
In
bit,
the winter,
but
listen, we all got to get our D somewhere.
I keep her full of, sorry, that's gross. That's gross.
We don't need to go too. I mean, I think we got it. We got it.
I didn't need to say anything after that. I always do
yeah.
that. It's too much.
It's tempting. I get it.
Jeez.
I have that problem though. I have like, I definitely get like seasonal depression where I'm like, I don't know how much of this is because it's winter and winter just sucks. And how much of it is because of the lack of sunlight? It's got to be like a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, but I don't know. I should probably see somebody about it. But every year I'm like, I feel like there's nothing to live for.
And
I'll
then,
tell you
yeah.
The secret. Planet Fitness, stand up tanning bed, 2 minutes. 2 minutes. You'll barely notice. Your skin will have a nice little rosy glow, but no one will know you tan. And then you get your vitamin
except
D.
All of
I
our
guess
listeners
you
know you do.
I'm scared of tanning beds.
I don't
no,
do
definitely,
the tanning.
Definitely. Most people are.
This
I'm not
tan,
scared of it yet.
This tan god with all the energy levels.
So do you use tanning beds?
I use the stand up,
uh-huh.
But only 2 minutes. 12 minutes is the max. Everyone else who does a tanning bed does the max and they get obsessed and they do it every single day. I think you need to go 3 times a week
and
do
so
the
much.
minimum. Just get kissed by the sun. Just sit. You know, so your skin can be a little golden, you know, a little golden, your eyes a little bit brighter.
No, his vampire wife does not live that way. But I mean, he's healthy.
I had you doing it for a minute, but then you
but
stopped.
Like 2 minutes can't be that bad, right?
That's what I'm saying.
My vagina
I don't think
set
that
on
could
fire.
Like...
I didn't wear underwear, and I think my clitoris caught a burn. And I don't know if that's it or if it's the Lyme inflammation.
Wait, like,
once again,
it
I'm
feel
very
like
good
a
at
sunburn?
Parties. I think my clit got sunburned or something, but like it just.
Why weren't you wearing undies?
I started once I realized, wait a second, the girl's on fire.
My penis doesn't tan. Everything else does, but my penis stays the same, even though it is exposed.
Oh, so you go in there nude as well?
Fully naked, yes. It's to combat tan lines, okay? Because I work outside some of the time. And so, like, you know, I have a bad, real bad t-shirt tan or
something. Right.
And it's just, it's really unseemly. And so I do this for my wife. And in
but
case
you
have to
know,
go to the beach or something.
Yeah, I don't know if you're up on the Gen Z trends, but apparently tan lines are very in fashion right now.
Tan lines are in
not
fashion?
A hard, yeah, like, not a hard t-shirt farmer's tan. I
don't know about a farmer's tan, but I do know that like the girls are getting spray tans and they're leaving on their bra.
They're leaving the sexy bra tan.
Yeah,
that's
they
different
want like a
than
little
like
cutout. But
a
yeah, you're
dude
at a
who's
farmer's
tan
tan,
to the
maybe.
neck. And I
maybe
didn't
not.
No,
either.
That actually sounds awesome. You keep the bra on and then you get the natural, like you were out on the beach or something.
Yeah, I think that's the idea. That's like the idea of it. But then sometimes, because I got a spray tan last year. It was the only spray tan I've ever gotten. I had this lady come to my apartment and it was awesome. I found her online. I just like Googled spray tan artist in my neighborhood. I was going to Florida and I was going to a wedding and I was going to wear a bright yellow dress. And I just felt like I needed a little bit of a tan. She comes over and first of all, she's like the coolest bitch on the planet. She's wearing like a Guns N' Roses t-shirt. She's not tan at all. She's one of the palest women I've ever seen. She might be a vampire, actually, but she does like artistry. Like, not only does she spray tan you, she sculpts your muscles. Like, she makes you look jacked. I looked incredible.
Wait,
and
she gave you a fucking six pack with the tan spray? Oh my gosh. I need
and
to meet
like
this lady.
My arms, like she defined everything.
Your fucking buys were popping afterwards? That is
I looked
amazing.
Like Schwarzenegger. I looked like, you know, I was addicted to the pump. And
I have to employ this lady.
I'll give you her number.
I must know this woman.
She also used like the spray tan itself was coconut oil, so it smelled good. It was non-toxic. But very interesting woman. She was tanning me and she's telling me about her life. And she's like, yeah, you know, I live in a house. I live like close in this neighborhood. I was like, oh, wow. Like you must be doing really well for yourself in the spray tan business, like to own a house here. Cause I live in Brooklyn. Like they're not cheap.
Right.
And she's like, yeah, I live there with my 7 kids. And she has 7 kids in a brownstone in Brooklyn. And I'm learning more about her life. And at one point she's spray tanning my arm and she's like, oh, you have a little texture here. I'm like, yeah, I have eczema. She's like, oh, my kids have eczema. But do you know what? The spray tan actually helps the eczema. That's why I spray tan my kids.
Oh, they must be gorgeous. All ripped and
gorgeous.
Tan little babies. Oh, that's amazing.
She lines up her kids and then she takes the spray tan and just spray tans every one of them. I'm pretty sure the youngest one is a baby.
Wow.
That is so awesome.
Yeah, isn't
I'll
it?
I'll hang out with her.
I've
for
gotta
sure.
move. I've gotta move closer.
I've been wanting to move to Brooklyn or that area, and this might
this
be
just
the
sealed
thing.
The deal. Let's
Oh
just
my God, you need to.
Deal.
Brooklyn is the best. It's the best.
I know. We want to head out that way. Either like Jersey City area, Manhattan, Brooklyn. You know, I can do a lot more comedy. He can do the spray tanner thing.
Oh.
Now, I have to ask you a question, Emily. Because
maybe.
The last
I feel like
time,
I get a better job, too, if I get the spray tan and look all ripped.
You could go to castings.
No, I mean like a real job that I'm not qualified for.
Great.
You know what I mean?
You say it, we'll move.
I'm just going to go on job interviews for like things that pay $300,000. And like, I don't actually know how to do it, but I'll be so shredded and tanned.
Yeah, killer abs.
That they're like, they have to hire me.
They're like, we've never been, sorry, sir, this is an investment banking position. I don't know why you don't have a shirt on, but those abs.
No one sends you away when you're super tan and ripped. No one
really don't. That's ab privilege.
They have the keys to the city. Like they have that unlocks anything for you. That you know, those people are in heaven.
You know, it is really sad because I don't care about being pale. Like I get pretty pale, especially in the winter, but I don't care about it. But I know that the world likes me better tan. And that's like a hard truth to stomach sometimes. Like that people do see me as more attractive when I am tan. So it doesn't even matter.
I got addicted to the looks. You know, once you get tan, when you're a kid and you realize like you went on a vacation in Florida or something and you come back and then the chicks are all staring suddenly. And then you're like, dude, this is magic. And so I just wanted to keep the magic alive. That's why I do 2 minutes of
plank. I like beg him to not tan though, because he just makes me look paler and paler when I stand
by comparison. Yeah. No, but like on a serious note, you definitely should switch to spray tanning because over time, two minutes, it doesn't seem that much, but three times a week.
Oh, my face is going to be a catcher's mitt pretty soon. I know.
Yeah.
No, it's a problem.
He'll make the switch once we move out there. He'll get your lady's number.
Oh, yeah.
But wait, I need to ask.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Emily, a question. Because the last time I saw you at your podcast, I said I was going to maybe send some spirits your way so you became more of a believer. Have you had any supernatural activity since I tried to send some spirits your way?
I haven't had any encounters with the spirits, but let me tell you something. This is a true story. So when you said, just to give the listener some context, and you definitely should go listen to that episode of Good Bodies with Kate. It was such a fun episode. She did like a little tarot reading for us, and we talked about all things spiritual. Here's the thing. My co-host, she is a believer. She's very into all things spiritual. And I knew you guys would vibe. I am much more of a skeptic. So when you said, I'm going to send some spirits your way, I was like, yeah, send them over. You know, we'll have lunch. Like it was very casual to me, I wasn't mocking you, to be clear. But it's like, you know, if you don't really believe in something, then somebody says, yeah, I'm going to send some ghosts to your house. You're like, cool. That sounds great. But then after you left, like immediately after you left, Lauren gets really serious and she leans in and she's like, you really okay with Kate sending spirits to your house? And I was like, yeah, like, why not? She's like, is it because you think it's not real? I said, of course it's because I think it's not real. But I thought that you were really going to send ghosts my way. That would be terrifying.
I said spirits. I didn't say ghosts. I sent loving deities to come, you know, give you a little hug, be like, tap, tap. There's more to reality. I wasn't doing it in a scary way. I guess it sounds scary, but it was more. I could have said, I'll be sending angelic protection your way. That would have been a cuter way of saying it. But I just wanted you to have some like paranormal activity, not in like a fear-based scary way. I just wanted to shake you up a little.
Because in those movies, a lot of people die.
Not in like paranormal activity, not the movies. Like,
oh yeah,
some fun. Like, oh, was that an orb? Oh, I think I saw a fairy. You know, so, some cute stuff like the mermaid goddess, Yamanye. I wasn't trying to fuck.
Oh, yeah. You. No, and I knew that, but I think she was a little bit like alarmed just because it's like, I don't know, even if it's not a mean ghost, it's still kind of like, you know, my door is not open to spirits usually. So that's still.
No, I don't want a nice scary one. I don't want any of them around. If something's making noise that I can't see or make, you know, bump.
They're all over our house. I don't know how you don't feel them, especially when we fight.
I'm like a cave.
Go to his room.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, okay. I actually have a question though. So I sadly don't really dream. And I think it's because I didn't know the reason why. I thought I was just like a really deep sleeper, but I think it's because I smoke weed pretty much every night. And I read on the internet, so it must be true, that if you smoke weed, that sometimes you don't dream. And I'm not entirely sure why, but could that be interfering with the spirits visiting me at night? Like, because I know you talk about the astral realm and shit, like maybe it that's could why. Be.
We never stopped spirits interacting with me or dreaming, but it certainly could. You know, it's something you're adding into your system. Who knows, you know, what it can do. Or you might just not want to dream right now. Like whatever place you're in, the subconscious can be brutal. A lot of my dreams are crazy. And sometimes I wake up mad at him because of it or something. Oh, you know what wow. I mean? Or mad at me. Like, oh my God, I can't
She's
believe
so
I did
at
that.
What I do in the astral realm.
Wait, like he dream cheated on you?
Oh yeah. But then I That's dream really cheat on him up. Too, just because I'm a slut in the astral realm sometimes.
Yeah, but it's not fucked up when you do it.
I feel horrible when I do it. But like when
I'm giving
it,
you a pass. No, I'm giving you a pass.
Oh.
No, I heard you're a big slut in the astral realm.
I've been trying to change my ways. You know, I've really been trying to, and I have, but every now and then my hoe astral self goes at it. So I'm convinced now that when he's acting a slut, he's mirroring my slutty ways in the astral realm. And I don't like it when it's him. Do you know what I mean? When it's me, I wake up disgusted, but I'm like, it's not real.
My whole
the
life
fact is,
in my dreams, I always get shot down.
Shot down?
I never get none of my moves work. No girls.
Oh my God. I thought you meant literally.
No, I'm not saying right now. I'm saying like since I was 10 and had dreams and started liking boobies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm saying they never let me.
Oh my God.
I never get any in the dreams. I like want to, and then I get shot down and I wake up.
But that's really interesting when you think about it, because your dreams are just your subconscious. So you're cock blocking yourself.
Yeah.
Or maybe my spirit's in there. Like, I don't fucking think
she's
so.
Such a major cock block. Just kidding. No, maybe it like seeps in. No, this is happening. This has happened before
we even met
in seventh grade.
You were cock blocked by the world until I came around. Okay.
Yeah, like it's got to be like deep down, you don't think you deserve it or something. Not to get like deep on you, but.
No, that actually stung real deep, but I'm glad you said it.
Do you think you deserve to get laid?
I think it's something like that, probably. I mean, it's strange because in real life, I've had good success. And then, but in dreams, very unsuccessful. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Yeah, but you would probably prefer real life success to dream
No,
success.
totally. I don't want it switched. I definitely don't want it switched around. I'm just saying, why would it be opposite? Like, why wouldn't it carry over to that world
Well,
too?
your getting pussy game has never been strong. He always had women going after him, which I guess doesn't translate into the astral realm, but like
No.
he never kicked game to me to get me. Do you know what I
I never I
mean?
don't have the
I lived
game.
a
Need
long, hard
to.
life and I was like, I miss my middle school best friend that I used to dry hump secretly. Where's
Oh
he?
my God, did you? Yeah.
Totally.
He was my best friend. We'd come over. He'd come over to study. And then as soon as the door was closed, I was like, guess what we're doing? You know,
And
I
I'd be
was
like,
all over
holy
him.
shit, this is happening? Because I totally, you didn't look like, you looked like we were studying.
I
Like,
normally
you were
wasn't like
like,
this,
my
but
dad's going to pick us up after work
something
because
about his
earth
smell.
science, you know, we're going to study for earth science. And I'd be like, all right, cool. Because you were smoking hot. And so I'd be
Actually,
like,
we're
all right.
studying chemistry today.
Exactly. But it wasn't enjoyable for him because I did it way too hard unknowingly with really thick jeans on.
Thick Wrangler
Oh, so
jeans.
I was the only one who was
Strangler
really
jeans.
enjoying it.
Oh, dude, she these dungarees, man. She would really
But I
obliviate.
didn't know
The
till
durable
he got,
shit. Jump.
it was when we got back together, he had to let me know that even back then I was hurting him quite a bit because he had to talk to me in the present.
You were destroying wieners out there.
Yeah, up until we got
Wow.
together, even he was like, listen, we need to talk. You know, you're like, you
Well,
know, I
it's.
was real aggressive with, I didn't know.
No, you know how there's like the up down motion, up down. She does an up down
Sure.
snap, up down
Oh
snap.
my,
It's
not
like
anymore.
there's this
Not
pelvic
anymore.
twist. She doesn't do it anymore.
I really
Yeah, it sounds
enjoyed
like
it,
she
but I
was
didn't
really
know
like
why.
pent up.
Oh yeah. No,
So,
I have lots of anger. Remember Pet Sematary personality? I was
for
like, oh,
sure.
whatever, that.
Wait, but
Let's see
was
if you
there making
survive.
out?
What'd you say?
Were you guys making out or just dry humping?
No, she would just dry. I was her little slut. She wouldn't
She
kiss
would
me.
dry hump
She would
you.
dry
I
hump. She
remember
would
kissing him.
not kiss
I
me.
remember kissing him. He says I wouldn't kiss him because I treated him like a
I
slut.
was your
I
slut.
remember times that we did kiss, but there
I
may have
wasn't
been
allowed to tell
times.
anyone. I wasn't allowed to tell anyone. It was hush hush. She didn't wouldn't kiss me on the mouth. Dude, I
You
was
weren't
such her
allowed to
slut back
tell anyone.
then.
Why,
I
Kate, why did you want to keep him like as your dirty little secret?
Because I had a boyfriend in middle school and he came up to me once and he was like, because we were together and he's like, we're gonna
Because we're talking eighth grade right now.
eighth
This is eighth
grade.
grade.
So
Wait,
he's like,
you had an eighth grade boyfriend while you were going over to CG's house and
no.
humping
Wait, 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 wait.
him?
So my eighth grade boyfriend said, we're no longer boyfriend and girlfriend, but we're gonna see each other. So I got demoted from girlfriend boyfriend to
And
dating.
he invented this because we didn't have that word. You were either going out with someone or
Right.
you weren't going out with
So
someone.
I
If
was
someone said,
crushed. We're just gonna see each other, I'd be like, okay, like in class?
No, it was really painful, but
No,
I
it means you
wasn't.
can see other people. It means you're dating, but you can see other people. He invented it. I think he had an older brother or something who's like,
Yeah,
no,
he
it's
must
just called
have. That's a.
seeing each other.
So I was upset. And how am I going to date? Like, I'm in middle school. We know all the same people. CG was my best friend then. And I wasn't cheating on the boyfriend. We were seeing each other. And they were good friends. And him and the guy I was with.
He's the
So
man.
we're all still friends. He obviously knows now. But like, he, CG would come over and I wouldn't even necessarily have it planned. I would just suddenly get up on that and made him not tell because I didn't want the guy I was seeing to know.
I was so innocent.
Because
I
then
just
that
wanted to
would
get a good
be.
test grade.
Yeah,
And
no, I
he
get
didn't
the
care. He was
dynamics would
like,
just.
he was hooking up with all sorts of hot chicks and like, he wasn't like, Kate Wolf, I need you
He
exclusively.
wasn't pining.
No, and he would make jokes about me in front of the class. Everyone would laugh at me. I was popular, but like, he definitely.
Well, he
I
had to
didn't
take you
think he
down a
liked me
peg.
like that because he would just, you know, make fun
Wait,
of
but Kate, didn't
me.
people say, like, when you were growing up, didn't people say, like, oh, if a boy teases you, he likes
Not when you have
you?
like real childhood trauma. You're just like, I'm a piece of shit, and he knows it. He knows I'm a piece of
Truly.
shit. He sees I'm the biggest loser. Somehow I'm looking popular right now, but they're gonna find out soon I'm the biggest weirdo, you
No,
know.
but you
Yeah.
were a China doll, so I had to like, I kind of had to like, you intimidated me, so I kind of had to knock you down a few notches. for my own. I was fucked up. I'm not gonna say I wasn't fucked up. I'm
no,
saying
I
that's what it was.
That's like so honest, and I feel like, yeah, that's exactly what it is. Like they need to take you down a peg because they don't want you to feel too confident.
I couldn't look at her like legit because she was so pretty. I couldn't like look
of
at her
course.
Without like doing that.
I
you know what I'm saying?
So
and that was fucked up. You know, that
he
it definitely
Christian,
sounds fucked up, but that's cool.
I
was
this
raised
is
a
like
Jew.
The... Oh, religious.
And my
religious
parents
tension.
Pushed at the time, like, you're gonna marry a rich Jewish doctor. And he was like a hardcore Christian where it was like, if you don't take Jesus into your heart, you're definitely going to hell. Like he was like super strict Christian. I wasn't like super strict Jewish. I got bat mitzvahed, but my family was like Jewish, Jewish.
Right.
And I feel like that played a part because the boyfriend I had was like the Jewish tennis player, soon to be doctor, even though he wasn't a doctor yet. Like it was on
but
that
he's a
path.
doctor now.
So like,
is
it
he a
was
doctor
just,
now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a man.
We had to ask him advice because last year we just had sex before we went into a swimming pool. And I was like, am I going to get the whole pool pregnant if I go into the pool after seeing?
She didn't want my illegitimate children being born in Fort Washington. And we didn't even know about it because my semen leaked out of her. So we had to make a phone call to him to find out
he was like,
if this was
you're
plausible.
Fine. He was like, you're fine.
He
you
was
know
like, you're
what's
not fine
wild?
Mentally, but you are fine. No one's getting
physically.
Pregnant.
You know what's wild? That's probably not the most batshit crazy medical question he's gotten before.
Yeah.
Like it can't be statistically.
It works at the ER.
Dude, I figured
if
only if you just directly in there, right? And only one makes it and might even not out of like millions. I feel like the voyage in a swimming pool is like, no, like chlorine is killing them. And then the
yeah, for
voyage
sure.
Like,
it's
to make
very
a distance.
Unlikely. I
like
it's
you're
very
basically
unlikely.
Spraying all over the eggs, you know, the normal way. And then that other way, and they can hardly make it. People can't get pregnant. So like I'm thinking the swimming pool is a long shot.
Okay. Right. Can I switch to the last topic, by the way? Because
sure.
I really want to get, I really want your opinion on this. So okay. I've seen some TikTok videos and probably Instagram videos where people are like, this person's not allowed at my funeral. Or like a woman who died. And then there was like,
sorry, my dog.
Oh,
sorry,
your dog
just
has something
repeat
to say.
That. Repeat that. I'm sorry.
I've seen videos. So one of the videos was a woman who was telling a woman to get out of a funeral because she wasn't welcome there because the woman who had died didn't like her. And there
oh,
are just
she
some
was
people,
blacklisted from the funeral.
And there are some people that are just like, this person's not allowed at my funeral. And like someone even asked me, they were like, if this person tries to ever come to my funeral, you tell them to leave. And I personally was like, I'm not going to be a bouncer at anyone's funeral. Like, that's not the job I'm looking for. That's not my attitude. Like, anyone can come to my funeral, even if they hate me. If they're the ones that killed me, it's a little weird. But like, I'm dead at that
for
point.
Sure.
Like, no one needs to like be like, no, you're not allowed here. How do you feel? Because I think it's interesting that people get really like, protect my funeral from these people.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's the last event that you will get to plan. I guess you don't plan your own funeral, but like you can write your wishes and whatnot. I personally don't care who shows up at my funeral. Because I'm not, you know, I have enough to worry about in this life. So I don't care.
Right.
I don't think I would like make a list of who is not allowed there, but I'm actually the opposite of you. I would love to be a bouncer at someone's funeral. Like that, if I had a friend who was like, this person's not allowed at my funeral, and then they showed up, I would be there with a headset. I'd be like, get this motherfucker out. Two reasons. One, I like having a job. Like, I like having a purpose when I am at a place. It makes me feel a little less awkward, especially if it's like a, you know, I've never done this at a funeral, but like at a wedding or something. Like, I like to have a little job to do. It makes me feel like I'm being helpful. But then at a funeral, I feel like you're not only is it like a job you have to do, but you're also you're doing what your friend would have wanted. Like, it's kind of like you're
it's
serving
carrying
a
out
higher
their will.
purpose. So to me, that's kind of beautiful, but also like, I just want to kick those motherfuckers out. Are you kidding me? I'd be like, you dry humped somebody else in the sixth grade. You're not allowed here. And if they push back, I'd be like, security, security.
I feel like at some point I'm going to get bounced from a couple funerals, and I just hope you're with me so we can walk away together. Because that's like a really embarrassing thing to show up at someone's funeral. And they're like, actually, she fucking hated you. Like, you're going to have to go. And I'm like, wait, what? And they're like, yeah, she thinks you're the worst. And you just have to like turn around in your all black outfit and like get out of there.
If somebody told you that they didn't want, told someone that they didn't want you at their funeral, that's like, that's pretty fucked up. I mean, she's saying she was thinking about this before she died, that like she didn't want somebody showing up. Like that's hard to, that'd be hard to take.
It would be hard to take, but it's also, it is so indisputably hilarious. Like they're just doing it to be petty. Because they're not going to be there. And that is what is so beautiful about it to me. Like, if my grandma was like, just make sure that fucking Nadine doesn't come to my funeral, I'd be like, you got it, grandma. No problem. Like, I think that is hilarious. And I value humor in the dead. So for me, that's incredible. I hope this becomes a trend. I hope more people do this. I hope they ask you, like, who handles wills? They're like estate lawyers. Estate lawyers probably handle the will. They should ask you specifically, like, because I know they ask you, you know, do you want to be cremated? Do you want to be buried? Like, whatever, Jewish cemetery, what have you. Who do you not want at your funeral? Like, that should be a required question.
I've been bounced from a bar before when my eyes got a little too googly, and that's pretty embarrassing. And then a bounce from a funeral? Oh, I don't know if I'd be able to come back from that.
I come back from it just as I do after buried in Pet Cemetery, but I would be embarrassed. But then I'd be extra like I'd spit on their grave. If someone blocked me from their funeral, I would definitely, because their soul's not gone. It's just not here on the earth realm. So
Yeah, I guess if you believe that. I'm not sure that I believe that. So that's the thing.
I'll pick it's a like, fight with the ghost, you know?
But I'm thinking about this, like, it would be hard if you got bounced out of a funeral. If the bouncer was like, she fucking hated you, she didn't want you here. Okay, fine. I'm leaving. I'm not gonna put up a fight.
But that's like, what I'm saying. If I showed up to a funeral and you're the bouncer and you're enjoying telling me to leave a funeral, I don't know if I'd come back from that mentally or emotionally.
Well, you would have to, I would want to find somebody who's down to talk some shit. But the problem is this lady's dead, this fictional lady. You know what I mean? Like, so how am I going to fight? Because if you went to someone's birthday party and they had a security guard there who was like, oh, sorry, you're not on the list, you would be talking shit about that person. But nobody wants to speak ill of the dead. That would be a really big issue for me.
I wouldn't have an issue.
So I'll call you if I get turned away.
Because once Michael Jackson died, everyone still is like, Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson.
Cancel MJ.
I cannot listen to his songs. Like, I believe.
Really?
And a lot of what the accuser said, I watched Leaving Neverland. Like,
I'll
talk
believe.
Shit about the dead. I talk shit about Hitler all the time, Mussolini. I'll talk shit about the dead.
For sure. But like, you know, Mary Beth down the street who like, you know.
Wait, are you saying
my dog peed
in
her garden one time? Like, that's not Hitler. It's not really the same.
Wait, so you bounce me from the funeral and I say, what do you mean? She was a piece of shit. Is that what you're saying? What do you mean?
I would know she was a piece of shit. I would be like, I would just ask around. You know, I would just be like, yeah, so I got bounced from Mary Beth's funeral the other day and just like float it. I would float it out there. See if somebody.
And then you hope somebody's like, oh, Mary Beth's a piece of shit.
She was a bitch. Like, God. I never wanted to say anything because she was old, but she was a fucking bitch. You know, my grandma's mother, my great grandmother, she was, let's just say it, like, she was a cunt. She was such a cunt. Okay. And I'm not happy that she's dead, but like when people talk about her, I don't talk about her like she was this lovely, wonderful woman, because she wasn't. And like, I'm a Jew, I don't believe in hell, but if it exists, she's down there for sure. And it's just matter of fact to me. It's not like, if you're a bad person, we're not going to rewrite history and pretend you're a good person just because you're dead.
Not over here.
Agreed. Well, I'm still scared to do it, but I do agree.
I'm not scared.
We should not be scared.
Kate's not scared.
But I do. There is something in the back of my head that makes me scared to do it.
If I got bounced from a funeral, I would take that story right to the stage. It's like, that's how I've dealt with everything. I have been through some shit. So if I got blocked or bounced from a funeral, publicly humiliated in that way, I would just, I'd be like, well, they suck. Even if like they didn't suck somehow, I'd be like, well, they suck. And I would turn it into a bit. But it's also something I never want to happen to me, but I don't know.
I mean, everyone at the funeral is going to think you really suck too. Even if they didn't before.
They're going to think awful.
They're like, he must be the worst person. Like the whole town. But you know, the entire funeral people, if you get bounced.
Yeah, they're all going to hate me. They're all going to be gossiping. Like, what did she do? Here's the thing, though. I don't think the people that are blacklisting people from their funeral, I don't know for sure, but it seems like they just want to be petty. Like, it doesn't seem like these are people who, like, skinned their cat. Like, it doesn't seem like they did anything that bad, right? They just kind of don't like them.
Exactly. And that's what I think's funny, to be like that level of petty after you've died. I respect it. Like if someone wants to put their energy in that direction, it's not the way I would navigate this world at all. I do not care who comes to my funeral. I didn't even think I was dying up until a month ago. I thought I was actually immortal. Bummer.
Did you?
I'm processing. Maybe because I never drank blood.
When we try to make life plans. You know, like this guy came over and he was trying to sell us mortgage insurance. And he was like, you know, in case something happens, she's like, I'm immortal. Like, that's legit is what she's telling me. So I'm not even supposed to listen to this dude for a second. She booted this dude.
He came in and did his whole pitch. One of you is going to die. I'll like.
You were like, all right, pussy. Nobody's got to leave. You were not fucking with that at all. So there's been a month now where we can make rational decisions about our future.
I wouldn't say that.
What changed it for you?
What'd you say?
What changed it for you? Well, why did you think you were immortal? And then how did you realize you're not?
I wasn't seeing a lot of physical changes. And I am obsessed with Twilight and Vampire, Supernatural. And I just thought, why the fuck not? You know what I mean? Why couldn't I be? You know, I like to go against the grain. But then I did see some good signs of aging. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, my strong belief systems could not beat the collective beliefs on death.
I feel like a large part of it were that your breasts stayed so nice for so long. You thought that translated into immortality. And you almost had me convinced.
In a way it does.
I thought so, but you know, I got some headshots done in the natural light. And they showed me everything. When you're in a dark room all the time, you think you look amazing. I'm not aging at all.
But like, you look great in a dark-ass house.
Yeah, but you do look amazing. And I think it's because you stay in a dark house. You know?
I forget the shit out of life. I get such major headaches and everything. Like, I have no choice just to be in like a quiet little room.
Uh-huh.
But it definitely does help. But going back to teaching, I think took away my immortality. Those kids aged the shit out of me.
The life out of you.
Yeah, they sucked her soul away. Not away, totally.
Thank you, baby.
Dang. We could have had immortality.
It would have been sad to watch everyone die around me, because everyone else I love would have to like figure out their immortality. And
yeah,
I don't
want to
watch
sad.
Anyone I love die. So
it is sad. It's like that movie Tuck Everlasting.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm okay with it, I guess. I believe our souls are eternal. You know, I don't want to be a baby again. I don't want to have to wear fucking diapers and deal with diaper rash and parents not changing.
Oh, so you don't believe in reincarnation?
I do. I believe in reincarnation.
Oh, you do?
I just don't feel like being a powerless baby again.
This is what's
fucked up. I mean, no one does.
Being a baby. No. I thought being a baby was the shit. I was happy as shit for like the first 7 years of life.
You thought being a baby was the shit? So you think you claim to remember being a baby?
All right. No. Okay. But I don't remember, but I feel like it was very euphoric. I have the most euphoric memories from when I was like 3 and 4. What I'm confused about is like, why isn't that backwards? Like, why don't you come into the world? It sucks. You know, it's really hard. And then as you keep working, it gets better and better. And then you're a baby at the end.
Like Benjamin Button.
You have no worries. Not necessarily a baby, but you are happy like when you're a kid and carefree at the end. So it seems upside down to me. It seems like it's obvious the way it should be. You work to get better and better and better. But yeah, instead, but it's the opposite. You just sucks. Get eaten away.
Dying a baby, you still have to have someone watch over you and like feed you, change your diapers, bathe you.
Sure, I didn't mean be a baby when you're old. I kind of more meant like feel like it. Like you're euphoric. Everything makes you happy.
Yeah.
You see a carnival, you're the happiest motherfucker in the world. A hot dog stand. You know what I mean? Like back in the day when I was a kid, you just felt so fucking happy. A hot dog stand, I'd be the happiest motherfucker on the planet.
You were happy last night when you saw and ate a hot
fucking
dog.
Real I was. Cheating.
Yeah, I love a hot dog stand. No, but I mean, that is true. But I actually feel like when you get really old, you do kind of regress into being a toddler, but not in a good way. Mm. You're right. Like,
you're like biting people. You're yelling at people. You're like, this wasn't cooked correctly.
Your skin's.
I mean, I'm scared
off.
To see you as an elderly person.
Oh,
but
I'm going to be a hot mess.
You know, a lot of people get old and then they get dementia, or like they just need constant care. They need their food to be put in a blender. Like there are similarities to being a baby, but none of the perks. Really.
Like they've fought so hard just to get past certain ages. Like once you hit 40, like that shit hits hard. And so like
does
they
it?
Fought so hard to get, you know, to get to where they're
recommend.
At, I feel like it should be, they should be rewarded, but they're like punished. They're just like,
yeah.
Killed apart.
But I'll
think
tell
it's
you what,
upside down.
What's cool about 40, at least on my end, is like, I really can't give a fuck. Like when I had my spot at New York Comedy Club the other night, I was lounged like full feet. Like, and it's because I can't sit upright. Like I was in too much physical pain. I had to just like, lounge out, and I'm like, yo, I'm fucking 40. I have health problems. Like at this point, I got to do what I got to do. So at least
there's
40 comes with less fucks. But
yeah, I mean, something slaps really hard about the phrase "I'm fucking 40." Get the fuck out of my face. The second part is optional, but I'm fucking 40. It sounds better than any other age, really. I'm fucking 40, and I'm done with your bullshit.
I have no energy levels for it. And I can't even control like the negative part of my personality. Like even Lauren, your co-host who likes me, she was like worried about me sending spirits. That was me on a polite day. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't have enough energy to not accidentally offend people. I like putting my feet up. I mean, I have to because my fucking foot's all crazy. So I've let it go at this point.
Yeah, but like you are who you are. I feel like at 40, you're as self-actualized. Well, maybe not as self-actualized as you're ever going to be, but like more than ever before, I imagine.
Amen. Yeah. All you can do is really surrender and accept. And I've definitely accepted my inner superhero and my supervillain because they exist as one in a sense. It's like the paradox. And I accept both. I only use my supervillain towards usually pedophiles and racists, you know, that I don't care about sending my supervillain parts after them, but I'm okay with those parts because they're great defenders. And they often, I really met them when I was understanding my childhood trauma. I saw both that young girl with the monsters coexisting and I understood, okay, these came up with her in a sense. So I'm totally cool with it and definitely in my 40s. Like even if we get into a fight and he like makes a comment like that my personality hasn't been great lately. Like I go up to my room and I kind of sometimes he's like, you're not friendly at all. Like, so, 'cause like, we'll go out. I can be, yeah. And I'll go into my room and I'll just be like, at first I'll be hurt and I'll be like, I'm not friendly. Like, I kind of laugh.
If we go to a party or something, she usually, she's not in the mood for a party. Like she'll just jet straight to the food and just slamming the food and then very little responses. And then, but usually by the end of the party, when she makes me leave, then she's usually yelling about how I'm too personable and I need to get my shit together. I need to get my shit together. And so my retort is that she sucks and she has no personality. Sometimes
No,
that's the
you don't
problem.
say I have no
No, but
personality.
it's the
You would never say
obvious
that.
what you have to say because they said the opposite about you.
No, yeah,
You have to.
we'll go to parties. He gets friendlier, funnier. Crowds start to build around him. I get more tired, more headachy, more
Oh, so is
upset.
this like an introvert extrovert type
Yeah, but
thing?
like I'm an extrovert in some ways. People think I am, but I'm actually way more introverted than most people realize.
Yeah. Well, I
Yeah.
think you can present yourself as very social and whatnot, but you could still be introverted. Like, I feel like introverts are actually very misunderstood because I
Yes, and I'm
consider
an
myself an
empath.
introvert.
So I get drained very quickly. I feel people's energies. I take them on. I've been working on not taking as much on, but like I just have a different process. So yeah, when I look over and he's like getting funnier, happier, better looking throughout the party, and I'm like
Like, I
withering
need
and I'm
to
like,
knock him down
ugh.
a peg.
I'm
It
like,
all
where did
goes
he
back to.
go? Yeah. But I am working on myself, but I'm also working on embracing that. Yeah, I'm a bit Maleficent, Morticia. I have a lot of that in me. My
I
friend,
would love to see you with one of those headpieces with the horns.
I would love, I would, I yeah, I embrace my inner horns. I don't really want to grow horns. I'd like to wear
No,
them.
because people already think Jews have them, so.
Exactly. So I'm not going to go with that stereotype. But
Okay.
yeah, no, I'm cool with the light and the dark within. I think it makes me a formidable foe in this world. And I'm too strong to feel bad about it because then I like look through the news at all the wars and baby starving and sex trafficking. I'm like, no, this is an appropriate personality for the times. You know
Oh
what I
my
mean?
God. Well, yeah, that and also I heard a quote and I'm obsessed with it. Every year I get obsessed with a new quote and I don't remember who originally said it, but it was something like you need to get comfortable being the villain in somebody else's story. Like, which basically to me that means like not everyone's gonna like you. You can't obsess about making everybody like you because if you obsess over everybody liking you, then it's going to be so fucking obvious, and then no one's going to like you.
Yeah, then you're like a fake turd, you
Yeah,
know?
then you're Jimmy Fallon. Not to throw him under the bus, but that's why people critique him for being too like fawny over everybody, and it's
Lost his
fake.
edge. He lost the
Yeah.
humor because everyone comes on, he's excited about. They're all his best friends. They
And
shoot.
everyone's so great, and the
And
reality
not, and
is
everyone's not so great.
no, not everyone is great, and that's okay. And I don't have to think everybody's great, and everybody doesn't have to think I'm great, but
I
I
think
am.
famous people are great. If I was Jimmy Fallon, I just had a different famous person on, I'd be on the nuts too every night.
No,
So
a lot
I
of them
do get
suck, CG. No, a lot of them are
it.
awful. A lot of the, I would say most of them are probably awful. I think you have to have kind of a chip missing to want to be famous like that.
I
That's
want to
just my
be famous.
opinion.
Maybe they
But
are awful. I'm
authentic.
not sure. I don't know firsthand. I would just think that I'd be really excited to see. I'm really excited to see regular people when we go out to hang out with people. I
He's the
think they're
friendliest
awesome.
he's exhausting.
Motherfucker.
No, I totally get what she's talking about. That's exhausting.
When we first got together, he was making like 10 to 15 minute like small talk with Target employees. And I have nothing against Target
No.
employees, but it's like everywhere we went, he made a new best friend.
No,
And
no, no,
like,
no. I just was really happy that I was just really happy when people want to talk to me.
it was
I'm like, they
really,
wanted to talk to me. It was so
it
fun.
was fucking up my
I don't do
boundaries
that
for.
anymore. I don't do that anymore.
So here's the thing. I go to the dog park. I have this puppy, but he's almost not a puppy anymore, but he has so much energy that I would have to take him to the dog park every day. And it's a double-edged sword because I would meet so many people with their dogs. And prior to having a dog, I would never really talk to my neighbors. I would keep to myself. Like I said, I'm like kind of a big introvert. And but going to the dog park every day, people would just want to talk to you all the time about your dogs, about your life, your job. And it gets so exhausting to me. So it's like, I understand like, sometimes it is the high point of my day. Somebody just being nice to me and just making friendly conversation because I go through my day and don't talk to anybody else. So it can be nice. But then there are other times when I'm there and I'm like, please don't talk to me. Like, please, you're going to ruin my day. Like, please do not talk to me. And like clockwork, somebody always sits down next to me and starts chatting me up about their fucking Cavapoo. And I don't want to talk about your Cavapoo today. I just don't want to.
But look, I'm a piece of shit. In my dream, no one will fuck with me in my dreams. Okay. And so like I come out of that world and I'm so excited that anyone would talk to me in this world. It kind of has to do with that, I think.
So nobody wants
well,
to,
we're gonna have to fix
or talk
that.
To you in
your dreams. You need to pull me in the astral realm. I mean, I've definitely we've hung out real tight in the astral realm, but
wait, have you shown up in his dreams?
Are you able in a to bunch of my dreams?
No, she was in my dream and she like wasn't fucking with me at all. She was fucking with my friend and I was so mad. She wouldn't
That's
fuck
iconic.
With me at all. It was
and
like,
it's a friend I never
she
would
was
fuck
so
with
mean.
Romantically.
She was so mean.
Yeah, but it's the astral realm. Anything goes.
Anything goes.
I that
we,
is
we
iconic.
Gotta wrap this up, you guys. We went so long.
Oh my God, I could talk to you for another hour, but
I know we could keep talking, but I got these dang fucking ring lights staring in my baby Dracula eyes. He calls me baby Dracula because I guess a real Dracula would be like thousands of years old.
Or baby Voldemort. Right. Did you watch Harry Potter?
Of Harry course.
Potter. Emily? Yeah, so
Harry Potter. Like, yeah, why do you say
sorry.
That?
Sorry.
Have you seen Harry Potter?
It came out weird. It came out southern. But in like number 4 or 5, there's like this little fetus Voldemort. Like he's like coming, he's
yes.
not back to life yet, but he's like
creepy.
Little. So I call her baby Voldemort sometimes, referring to fetus Voldemort before he got his body back. It was 4. It was number 4 he was in, baby Voldemort. But that's like
was
my
it
fucking
number 4?
Favorite. His little wrinkled fetus body.
You know, it's not that flattering on the surface, but I get what you mean. She's evil, but it's like a diminutive form of evil.
Well, it's just like
a little
just
vulnerable
like
evil.
Little in the darkness.
He does a whole thing where he's like,
baby Voldemort. No, wait. What is it? Only kill a little bit of children. Please. No, never mind. I don't know. I can't do it on when
that
you ask.
That's so
it to,
sad.
Oh my God. Wow. When couples start doing their inside jokes to people who are not in the couple, it's always hilarious to me because nobody ever gets it.
Oh,
and you're like, no, no, no,
he
like, wait,
made you get it, but he bombed, right?
Dude,
there.
It was hard. I can't do that one-on-one contact, baby. It
so,
has to be.
He's like, please, kill only a little bit of people, just a little bit of
please,
unicorn blood,
baby. You, baby,
because,
one won't kill.
Yeah, because I please. Can be formidable yet vulnerable.
So much love to give, baby Voldemort. Only
why
kill
is it
little
like a
bit of
caveman kids. Voice though?
He's like pleading with his mom, like because he wants to kill,
uh-huh.
So he can only kill a little bit. You know,
but he doesn't have language.
Right, I regret
so that's
doing
why
art.
I wish he
it's
didn't
so
go
true
out,
though, like because when you have the inside joke, you want to share it with other people because you're like, this is fucking hilarious. Just what we can wrap up, but just real quick, I had this experience because so. It's so specific. It's and you're not going to find it funny, but there is a song by Charlie XCX and Billie Eilish. It's a duet and it's called Guess. And they go, you want to guess the color of my underwear? You want to know what I've got going on down there? So Andy and I were singing the song, but we changed the lyrics to be about our dog's dick size.
Oh my God.
So it was like, so we're singing about our dog's penis, but it's like, is he a little dog with a big dog's hog? Or is he a big dog with a little dog's hog? I was like, this is so fucking funny. I need to sing it to my friend. And I was like, I said to my friend, Erica, I'm like, Erica, listen to this song that I made up. She was like, you need to stop this immediately. Like, this is so wrong. And so not funny.
No,
and I was
it's
like,
fucking
God
hilarious.
Damn it. Like,
I disagree. I think it's hilarious. It translated. I completely got it.
You told the wrong friend.
I should have told you guys. You know what? I'm going to call you up the next time I have one.
I have to find Lord Voldemort himself. Maybe he'll like the joke of our fetus
I
Voldemort.
think he would.
He'd be like, no, actually give me unicorn blood.
He
Anyway.
just, he acts really sweet. He acts
Okay.
like really sweet because he wants his mom to let him just kill somebody. That's
Stop
more
explaining it. Emily, you can tell
of
she's not. And I gotta wrap up this
Okay.
podcast, you two.
Okay. It's not
So,
him. It's not him.
Miss Emily Faith Lubin,
Ooh, you middle
where
named
was
me.
nice.
Can people find you, your podcast, etc.?
You can follow me on Instagram at Lubination. That's Lubination. And you can also listen to my podcast, which is called Good Bodies. It's under Betches Media, and we have two episodes a week. And we talk about smashing diet culture. So find me over there. And yeah, that's it.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks so much, Emily.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. Bye.
Thanks, guys.